Accession number 30907, reel 2.
So give me an idea of the sort of routine on board, what time you were called in the morning and, yes. and what happened.
Yeah, I think about 6:30 you were called. And then the boys had to get their bath, or not so much a bath, but a shower if possible. I was detailed off as Lieutenant, mentioned his name just now, Templeton Cottill, as his cabin boy. So apart from having to wash myself, I had to go and get a bowl of hot water from the galley, take it down to his cabin, knock the door, wait for him to say, come in, and then pour the hot water into a bowl in his cabin, and then go away. And I knew at 20 minutes later, I had to go back, knock the door, be invited to go in to clear, to take the dirty water away. For which I got 10 shillings a month extra.
Right, so...
And sorry, he did make Admiral, and I saw him many times during my career later on, and he did remember me. Yes.
So obviously, when you were on the whirlwind, you were under instruction, a boy under instruction... Yeah. What sort of instruction would you receive?
Be seamanship matters, learning to splice ropes again and do it on board. And as I say, on occasion it was quite rough. So it's not a case of sitting in a nice classroom splicing a rope. You're now being thrown around at the same time by the sea and trying to do this. Sea boat drill, or lots of sea boat drills. We would watch depth charges being exploded there, and then lower, like most sailors do, lower the boat, go and get the dead fish and have a nice fresh fish for supper.
Yeah. Did you have a part of ship?
Oh yes, I think it was quarter deck. Yeah.
In terms of cleaning the ship, what would be the routine?
The routine, and it's a steel deck, I remember this clearly, because the petty officer in charge said, off shoes, off socks, and it was freezing cold, it was winter time of course, in Rosyth, and we had to scrub the steel deck with no shoes or socks on, or shoes on, and it was pretty cold. But as I said earlier on, all the boys had to do it. We muttered under our breath, we didn't say anything to the petty officer that it's too cold. No, last thing. I do recall we had to paint the ship side once, and my hands were freezing, and I actually dropped the paintbrush. I thought, good, that means I can't do any more painting. Petty officers said, Reed, down you go. And they lowered a rope, and I had to climb down the rope and try and recover the paintbrush, which the pilot had drifted away. The petty officer knew it had drifted away, but he made me climb the rope to the sea level, then climb back up again. For dropping, hey, dare you drop a paintbrush into the sea.
Right. Was it a happy ship?
Oh, yeah, yes. Again, it was quite happy, because as us, all the boys, we knew each other so well. We've been together for a year or so.
Yeah.
And we were, yes.
Did you get any weapons training on board?
No, I don't recall. No, we're a bit too young to get involved with gunnery and that sort of thing. We could watch, or not so much watch, could use in a very safe distance away when we fired the guns or fired a depth charge or something. Yes.
Now, what was the catering arrangements?
It's the old system where you collect your fresh veg, if it's on board, the potatoes, carrots, beans, peas. One chap is cooking the mess. He prepare all that, peel the potatoes, peel the carrots, prepare it all, take it to the galley, and then at midday, you go back to the galley, or just before midday, go back to the galley and collect it, dish it up on the plates for all the boys, in equal portions. You can imagine the furore if you put more on my plate or more on your chum's plate. Mm. No, it had to be fairly equal.
Mm. And you said that every boy had a chance or an opportunity of being cook of the mess, so you had to learn to cook.
He was detailed off to do it. He didn't much say it, because as I say, 15 boys, then once a week you became cook of the mess, and it's a rota pinned up somewhere. I would do it this week. Mm. And if you make a hash of it, the petty officer in charge of the boys' division will make sure you do it for 2 weeks until you did learn how to do it properly.
Shore leave.
Yes.
Tell me something about that from the ship.
Shore leave was rather limited. I can certainly remember the officer I mentioned before was in charge of us, thought, what about a paper chase? So he organised. We were very, very interested in a paper chase, really, in Invergordon, picking up bits of paper. But then he had a should we say, a sod's opera range, although we didn't call it in those days, we didn't call it that. That's what it was, and we went up there, and I do recall an incident where I and my chum at the time put on the ship's system, the broadcast system, and did a little song. We were sent for. If you are interested in a singing career, when I do my next sod's opera, you will be on the stage. So I didn't sing into the ship's system anymore after that.
You talked about this broadcast. What sort of things did they broadcast on?
Oh, like wakey, 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 hands, you know, rise, and up spirits, that's which, of course, we knew what it was, but we were much too young to have a rum ration in those days.
Was there any entertainment broadcast at all? Any entertainment broadcast at all?
No.
Record?
Well, there might have been the odd record, yes. SRE system, I think they called it, yes. Yes.
So, a happy ship, you said.
Yes.
How long were you on board?
On board the Whirlwind, I came back. Now, us AC boys went back to St Vincent to improve on our educational skills. Right. So I went back to St Vincent on the 10th of February, 1951. So it would have been about 2 months, roughly, up in Rosyth.
So you've been 2 months on the Whirlwind.
On the Whirlwind.
And then back to St Vincent.
Yes, back to St Vincent, purely for educational purposes. Right. Now, we were the bee's knees now, because all the other boys there were under training. Mm. Okay, we were in the classroom. Mm. We didn't have a double round parade ground. We never had to worry about... We had divisions, yes, but we didn't worry too much about...
And you were kept as a mess or a class, as it were, together.
We're still 142 class.
Yeah.
The AC bit.
Were you allowed to smoke in those days?
No. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I said no.
Yes.
Yes, I bought five. Yes. We are. I bought five woodbines a week. Yes.
Right. So, how long are you back at St Vincent?
Back in St Vincent until the 5th of April 51. So that's what, a couple of months.
Yes.
And then I joined a troop ship.
Right.
Empire Pride. There's a lot of Empire boats around.
Where did you join her?
In those days, the train actually left Portsmouth Harbour. It's now been demolished. It used to run into South Railway Jetty. A train came in, we boarded a train, went up near the Queen Street in Portsmouth on the railway line, into Portsmouth Harbour, then up to Liverpool to join the Empire Pride.
And that was
a troop ship. Yeah, there was a few. There's Empire Windrush, Empire Pride. There's a few Empire boats around here.
What was your destination?
The destination was Colombo, because we're going to join HMS Mauritius now, a cruiser.
Right.
And she was in Colombo.
So you were on board the troop ship for how long, roughly?
Ooh.
A few weeks, a couple of weeks?
Does it mark it on my service documents? I assume about 3 weeks or so,
yes. Yeah.
Through the Suez Canal. It's all exciting stuff. There we are, through the Suez Canal, saw a camel and saw lots of sand, you know.
And this stage, were you issued with tropical gear? When were you issued with that?
That was issued at St Vincent when we got our draft ships. When we were about that second period at St Vincent, during that time somewhere, our draft would be, we would be informed that all you boys are going to join HMS Mauritius in a Middle East.
Right. So you sailed out, arrived at
Colombo,
and joined the ship.
Yes.
What was your first?
And she was in dry dock at the time.
In dry dock. What does that mean by dry dock?
Well, she was obviously into a dock, closed the gates, pumped the water out, and now you can actually work on the ship's hull. It's all propped up with big posts, you know, to keep her steady and upright. But then you work on the ship's hull. We wouldn't, perhaps the Royal Navy wouldn't do it. You have the dockyard employees would do that for you. Mm. Scraping barnacles off and that sort of thing.
So that was the first sight of the Mauritius.
Yeah, that was Mauritius, yes.
Yes. And when you went on board, what difference did you find between the Whirlwind and the Mauritius?
Well, Mauritius, of course, was a cruiser. Much larger. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Much larger. She had been through World War II, of course, it was just the size of it, a cinema, all those things were on the Mauritius. There was a nice canteen. And by the way, I was rated ordinary seaman on the Mauritius on the 18th of October, 51. So I was made OD.
So you'd have been on there how long before you were rated?
From April 51 until October 51.
So a few months. Yeah, and then you got rated.
As a boy first.
So when you were on board, what was the messing like there? Now, were you all together in the mess?
Yeah, well, not all, because the mess tables were not sufficient to take 15, but I think we had about 8. But we were all given a department now, like forecastle division, top division, quarter division, and I went into the forecastle division. So we were split up now.
Right.
So probably 5 or 6 of us went up the forecastle division, and some went to the top division, the quarter division.
And you're, but you still all messed together, did you?
No. We had your own mess table up for.
Okay. And who would have been in charge of the mess?
There would be a leading seaman now. Right. Yes.
And would there have been any able seamen in the mess at all?
Oh, no. It's purely for boys. Purely for boys. And there was a petty officer, Barry Dunmore, his name was. He reverted to coxswain towards the end of his career. But Barry was the petty officer in charge of the boys' division.
Yes. And Malcolm, you mentioned in your previous ship you had a division officer. Did you have a division officer on the Mauritius?
Yes. I think, if I'm a memory serves me right, it's David Selway, or was that another ship? However, there was a division officer, yes. So yes. I can't.
And did you have much dealings with him? Did you see him much?
No. If provided you did your work satisfactorily, which most of the boys appeared to have done, you saw him, of course. And if you wished to see him on any personal matter, you had to put in a request, of course, to go through the duty petty officer to see him. But I don't think I ever did that.
And we talked about the gunnery. Or lack of gunnery on the Whirlwind. Were you involved in any gunnery on the Mauritius at all?
No. What happened? I'm jumping onto the next on this Mauritius. No, we obviously fired the 6-inch, and right. but very impressive. Yeah. But I was not involved with the gunnery.
Was a happy ship?
Oh yeah, Mauritius was. Yes. We had a lot of chaps on there who were ex, not HR from the war. National 3 badge able seamen. Yes. They'd lost their hooks and paddy apple status years before. Perhaps were 3 badge able seamen.
Right. And what sort of places did you visit on the Mauritius? Can you remember?
On the Mauritius, it's basically. Let me see if I can remember where we were.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it, on the Mauritius, as I mentioned earlier, she was in dry dock. We then flooded the dry dock, a few weeks later. Came round to Trincomalee, which was our base, and we were out there for about 2 years. Trincomalee, beautiful harbour, was our base, and the ship then from there went off to their cruises around the Middle East. We never got in the Indian Ocean, that was. Now, what happened with Mauritius? I can just jump now to the 18th of October, 51. She was on her last legs. She was so old. I understand in the engine room we're having problems. And just so happens that HMS Kenya was coming home from the Far East. And it was decided by the Lords, the Commissioners, or whoever it was, made these decisions, that why not put both ships alongside each other in Trincomalee Harbour and exchange ships. Now, if you've seen 2 cruisers alongside each other, one forward gangway, all the crew walk off the Mauritius onto Kenya, and on the after gangway, all the Kenya's crew were coming on board and swapping around ships. Hell of a mix-up, but it seemed to work fairly well, except someone forgot to take their Christmas cards. So when Christmas arrived, when we're on Kenya now, we had Mauritius Christmas cards, and we had to send them off. And the Kenya was back in Chatham, and she had all the Mauritius Christmas cards, which they weren't happy about. Still,
so the routine on the Kenya was it very much the same as the Mauritius?
No, I was sent for by my divisional chief or divisional petty officer. What we call job changes, Reed. What we do is we swap round to make sure you all have a fair crack at the whip, after all the different departments and that sort of thing. And But however, there's a special job just come up. I said, what's that, sir? Of course, I called all the petty officers sir in those days. What's that, sir? He said, captain wants a messenger. It sounds very posh job, but the perks are every day your laundry will be done free for you, your white shirt and your shorts. I would expect you to have sandals, which will be polished, and you'll stand outside the captain's cabin, and you'll do all his messages for him. Oh, thank you, petty officer. Oh, thank you, sir. Lovely job. I was the envy of the mess, because I had this quiet number. All the others were getting dirty and mucky, doing cleaning guns and doing working in other machinery spaces, etc. There's me standing outside the captain's cabin, and the beauty of it was, in those days, this commander-in-chief of the East India Squadron, which we are part of, was allowed to take his wife to sea. And we went on cruises round the Indian Ocean, Seychelles, Mauritius, all these places, and on board was a lady, but she had to have a chaperone. And her chaperone was a lovely 19-year-old lass. And she lived in the first tent's cabin. And the first tent had to move out, of course, go somewhere else. And I thought, oh, good, I could chat her up. But those damn midshipmen got in before me. They were always chatting her up, and so of course I didn't get a look in anyway. But that was a nice job I had for the captain's messenger, and that was Captain Coke. His name was.
So how long were you on the Kenya?
On the Kenya from, let me see here, 24th of November 51 up to 20th of December 52. About a year on Kenya.
So all in all, you've done about 2 years in the Middle East.
Based in Trincomalee.
In the East Indies. So you sailed for home?
Did
you
just before we sailed for home, please. I did on the Kenya. We had to select what we want to be: gunnery, TAS, radar, and just so happens that one day it was very, very hot in that period in Trincomalee. I walked past his compartment and the door was left open and there's all cold air coming out. So I poked my head inside. It was the operations room. It was all air conditioned. That's for me, I said. So I volunteered to become an radar plot rating, which of course HMS Dryad in those days was our base. So I volunteered, and the plot radar instructor on board had about half dozen of us interested in being radar plotters, and he gave us a small examination after an introduction to the radar world, and I become an RP3 brackets U unqualified on the 20th of December.
And you were promoted to that on board the ship?
Yeah. You wore an RP badge with no star at all, just a basic.
How did you get that rating? Did you see anybody or?
No. You just had to volunteer for what branch you wanted to be in. I didn't want to get involved with gunnery. Yes. Too noisy for me. And so this lovely air conditioned compartment. That's the job for me. And you sat in there in front of radar screens, have a headset on, or radar.
So the captain didn't rate you.
Oh no, not for an RP badge.
Did you ever have occasion to go to the captain's table?
No.
Or commander's table at all?
No, only if I was sent for to, your captain wanted a message or
no
something.
No requestment or default, isn't
it? I would have done a course for Audley Seamer, just jump back to Mauritius now.
Yes.
But nothing too serious. It's basically, you get from the captain, it's all been approved beforehand anyway, unless anyone's got any serious objections. And so I was an Audley Seaman. Where was it? No, I've missed a part. I became an able seaman on the 18th of July 52 aboard the Kenya.
So I'm you would have
able seaman,
seen the commander.
RP3, yes. Brackets U, unqualified.
Right. So you would have seen the captain for that, wouldn't
you?
Oh,
yes.
Right. So, on the way home, where did the ship stop?
So on the way home, the ship came in through the Suez into Malta. I'm still captain's messenger, by the way, because I remember an incident where we were going to have a 6-inch throw-off shoot at Filfla. It's the island off of Malta. Fifla, is it? Or Filfla? Off of Malta. And X Turret was manned by the Royal Marines. And the Royal Marine officer, I won't mention his name, embarrassing if he ever hears this, put the wrong settings on. And a shell went, when the X Turret fired, the shell went towards the letter. So, a big plop in the ocean when it went into the sea. It's only full of sand, but it's a bit nasty thing to fly around the air. And I was on the bridge when Captain shouted, ceasefires, check, 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 all that sort of business. And left, he was a lieutenant in the Marines. Lieutenant so-and-so, bridge, up he came. Sir! And I was standing right next to the captain, or just behind the captain. And he really ripped him up. He said, you will leave my bridge. Up there is what I call a six-inch director. You will stand on top of that until I call for you. Now, this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 8 o'clock at night, I went on the quarterdeck for some reason. And he still standing attention on that trip. He didn't bat an eyelid. Yes, anyway, you live and die. Yes. So then, that's it, back to Portsmouth.
Yes, well, just before we leave the ship, yes. you did know Watchkeeper on board because you were the captain's messenger.
Yes.
Right. Organisation of the ship, what would... tell me something about the watch bill, how, when you could go ashore, etc.
Well, the ship was into two watches, and then those two watches were divided into two again. So you had four watches. Excuse me. You had four watches now. So, for example, first and starboard, second and starboard, first to port, second to port. And so if the first and starboard were duty, the whole of the ship's company, who were first and starboard, would be on board. So you could have three parts of the ship ashore on leave, and that one part would be able to man the ship in a dire emergency. They could man the ship and get it to sea, because there'd be sufficient seamen to get the anchor back in, there'd be engineers down below to get the engines going, so you could go to sea if for some reason you had to get the hell out of the harbour.
How many ships company did you have on the Kenya?
Approximately 600, 700. No, I'm guessing that one now. Yeah.
That's officers and ratings.
Yes, yes,
yes. Right. So you came back. You came back to this country.
Yes.
Steamed into where?
Portsmouth. Because yeah. She's a Pompey ship. It's just a Kenya now, of course. It's just
yes.
Or Kenya. Some people say Kenya. I say Kenya.
Yeah. Can you remember the day that you?
Oh yes, yes. The day we came home was the 30th of April, 1950. April 53 we came home.
Yeah, and did you have any friends or relatives waiting for you?
Mum was there.
Right.
South Railway jetty, came in, and I can't remember the lady's name now, but there was a member of the royal family to greet us, because she launched the ship way back before the war.
Right.
And I know she's passed away now, but she... we had a fully on the jetty, be inspected by her, but God bless her, she walked straight past. She knew damn well, after 2 years away, you don't want to be standing there being inspected. You want to get home, those who were going home on leave. And she was very good. She went Princess Royal. I can't know exactly what it was, but she's very good. And it's all over in about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Most people say, it's a waste of time that was. All standing there to be inspected, and she walked straight past. But that was deliberate. She knew what we wanted to get home.
Tell me something about the paying off pennant. What was the purpose of that, and how did you fly it when you came home?
Oh yes, yeah, very much so. Yes, there's lots of talk about the flying pennant, the paying off pennant. I don't recall what length it was, but it was a fairly lengthy thing.
And my understanding is that the length depended on the length of the commission. Is
yes,
that right?
Yeah, I think some on those lines. Yes,
1 foot per month or whatever.
Yes,
yeah. So you came home and.
Into barracks for a very short period, then up to dry.
Portsmouth barracks.
Portsmouth barracks, HMS Victories it was in those days.
Yeah. Did you have any leave at all?
Oh yes, so we had a couple of weeks leave, wherever it was owing to us. Yes, there's no problems about the leave period.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I went straight home on leave that day, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Because it's not till I joined Dryad in August. So there's a large gap between April, when the ship came home, to when I visited Dryad.
What is Dryad?
It used to be the maritime school for radar plot and that sort of thing.
It's a shore establishment.
Yes. Based at Southwark, which is just 10 miles outside Portsmouth, roughly.
Yes, yes. And you did your training there for?
RP3.
Yeah.
Because I was an unqualified RP3. I'm now going to become a qualified
RP.
Radar plot.
Radar plot, okay. So you were there at Dryad on course?
I was in Dryad, yes, on course for an RP3, and I was rated RP3 in October 1953.
Mm-hmm. So, how long were you there in total in Dryad?
Let me see then. August. August to November, by the looks of this, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I won't jump the gun. So I was there doing my RP3 course.
Right, so after there, what was your next move?
Very briefly in barracks, again, HMS Nelson, to get my draft ship to HMS Vanguard, a battleship.
Right.
That's on the 16th of January, 54, I joined Vanguard.
And this, what rating were you at this time?
I was an RP3, brackets, able seaman.
Able seaman, right. And you joined her in Portsmouth, I guess?
I certainly did, yes.
And what was your first impressions when you went on board?
What a beautiful ship she was. Admiral McGregor, a very short man, Wee McGregor, we called him. Very man. And it's the first ship I recall where the crew were wearing blue jean trousers. They weren't wearing number 8 trousers, they were wearing blue jeans. But very happy ship Vanguard was. Again, massive cinema, massive dining halls. Everything was very large on there. And I was working in the operations room on there as an RP3.
And your day-to-day duties would have been?
Seaman again. I was forecastle division again. Massive forecastle up there and scrubbing the deck. All wood, of course. And they were lily white, some of those decks. Some of the decks were not, which we're not used to often, were lily white. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Good captain. Mm. My first visit to Norway, up the fjords. We went to Norwegian fjords on the Vanguard. Lovely, calm, still day. The water was beautifully calm. And there's Vanguard, a battleship cruise up the fjords. Beautiful.
Now, you talked about the type of messing and food that you had on
Whirlwind and Mauritius.
Yeah. Was it different on the Vanguard?
Yeah, much better food. Yes. Well, they have the more better, bigger and larger facilities for the cooking. Here we have a battleship's crew now.
Were you still preparing your own food on there?
Or oh, yes.
A different kind of mess?
Hold on. No, we weren't. No, it was the other mess type of messing. Canteen messing, where they... No, not canteen.
General messing.
General messing, yes. It was much better food. Good. It was... Not the best food I had the service, but certainly at that time, in 54, it was good food.
Yes. What sort of places did you visit?
On Vanguard, we went to France, went to Toulon, didn't go into Calais, but a lot of the French ports we went to. Mm. Other ships went back then that way, but Vanguard, I certainly remember going through the Pent and Firth. It was a bit choppy, but Vanguard, she's hardly budged, you know. Mm. But I do recall we never fired the after turrets on Vanguard because it would ruin the wardroom. All the china and silver and glass would crack. We fired those after turrets. Yeah. So we always fired the forward turrets. And it wasn't a loud noise, it was a mighty roar, but it wasn't deafening and such. Oh, obviously, you got nowhere near the turrets. Mm. You stood well clear. Goofing, as we call it, watching what's happening. But.
Can you remember what tonnage the Vanguard was, roughly?
No, I can't offhand. I've got all the books at home now, but I can't remember.
Not important, yeah.
She was, of course, our last battleship.
Yes. Ever. Happy ship?
Oh, very happy ship, yes.
Now, on this ship, of course, you were on a seaman's mess deck.
Oh, I certainly was, yes, an able seaman.
Yes.
Yes. During that commission, again, I was sent for by the divisional petty officer or chief petty officer, it was. You're now going to be a messman. I said, what? Oh, no, I don't want to be a messman. That's looking after senior rates messes, getting their food organised for them, and, well, taking the food prepared. No, I'm on Vanguard now, so it was prepared by the galley, but fetching the cooked food and dishing it up for the. It's a petty officer's mess, in fact. Mm. But the advantage there was you could have your hammock in the petty officer's mess. So I slung my hammock there rather than on the seaman's mess deck up forward.
Now, you said that on the Mauritius there was about 600 or so officers and ratings. How many would have been on the Vanguard?
You're perhaps getting near 1,000 mark, or not quite as many as that, but I don't want to put this on tape because I'm not quite sure of the numbers. No.
Almost 1,000.
Yeah.
So you were on board for how long in total?
In Vanguard, it's in January to October 54.
Right. So it was really 9 months.
Yes.
Why did you leave the ship then? What was the purpose?
Well, what was the purpose? I just had a draft chit. I'm just looking where I went to then.